So, did I click something?
I didn't click anything. All right. Good deal. I'm being recorded apparently now. Hey, man. Gotta watch what I say. Hey, man. Genesis chapter 27 is where we're going to be at. Before this happens, I'm going to do something really strange, and that is this. I'm going to teach you guys, I rearranged a hymn. And it's based on Acts chapter 10. And in you understand the music to it because you've heard it before. I'm going to have you sing it, but I'm going to sing it and teach you first. And you can, if it, all deference to Brother Cook, I'm going to do this for your benefit. It's the gift that I'm giving you upon my departure on Friday, as Black Creek Baptist Church is very special to me. So this hymn is dedicated to people that eat bacon, all right? And it's in your hymn book, actually, and it's a rearrangement of one of the stanzas. So it's just one stanza, and then we'll be done. After I sing it, everyone say amen, not because of vainglory, but because of affirmation. I want to be comfortable. I don't want to be run out of here. Maybe you don't like the doctrine or something. But anyway, here we go. Let me sing it first, and then you. All right, here we go. Let me think. Eat the swine, the master calleth, eat the swine. You can eat Oscar Mayer anytime. Things abruptly changed after Acts chapter 9. To the Gentiles who are hungry, eat the swine. Amen? All right, let's sing it together. It's pretty easy. Eat the swine, the master calleth, eat the swine. You can eat Oscar Mayer anytime. Things abruptly changed after Acts chapter 9. Acts 10, actually. But to the hung. What, nine rhymes with swine, you say. To the Gentiles who are hungry, eat the swine. So it's a very Gentilian type song. Are you guys ready? You ready? So I'll lead. Don't you worry. I'll lead. You follow. And we'll go a little slow so we can get it. All right, you ready?
Eat the swine, the master calling, eat the swine. You can eat Oscar Mayer anytime. Things abruptly changed after Acts chapter 9. To the Gentiles who are hungry, eat the swine.
We messed up. Let's sing it one more time and we'll preach. All right, you ready? All right, here we go.
Eat the swine, the master calleth, eat the swine. You may eat Oscar Mayer anytime. Things abruptly changed after Acts chapter 9. To the Gentiles who are hungry, eat the swine.
And God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Genesis chapter 27, amen. Amen. No, a lot of people think that in Acts chapter 10, a lot of black folk think that it was chitlins up there, that part of what he was eating there. But anyway. All right, so Genesis chapter 27. It's good to have fun, amen. We're going to read verse 1. We're going to read down here. I've got notes somewhere there. They're not important, but I've got them there anyway. All right, verse 1. It says, "And it came to pass that when Isaac was old, and his eyes were dim, so that he could not see, he called Esau, his eldest son, and said unto him, My son. And he said unto him, Behold, here am I. And he said, Behold, now I am old, and I know not the day of my death. Now therefore, take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver, thy bow, and go out to the field, and take me some venison. And make me savory meat, such as I love, and bring it to me, that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die. And Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau his son, and Esau went to the field to hunt for venison and to bring it. And Rebekah spake unto Jacob her son, saying, Behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau thy brother, saying, Bring me venison and make me savory meat that I may eat and bless thee before the Lord before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Go now to the flock and fetch me from thence two good kids of goats, of the goats. And I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth. And thou shalt bring it to thy father, that he may eat, and that he may bless thee before his death. And Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, Behold, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I'm a smooth man. My father, peradventure, will fill me, and I will seem to him as a deceiver. That's because you are. I shall bring a curse upon me, and not a blessing. And his mother said unto him, Upon me be the curse, thy curse, my son. Only obey my voice, and go fetch me them. And he went, and he fetched, and brought them to his mother. And his mother made savory meat, as his father loved. And Rebekah took goodly arraignment for her eldest son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them upon Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck. And he gave the savory meat and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. And he came to his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I. Who art thou, my son? And Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn. I have done according as thou badest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat my venison, and thy soul may bless me. All right? So, one of the things I want to look at, we could keep reading, but for the sake of time here, it's a very strange thing that has happened here. Very strange thing and a bizarre thing to feign yourself as your brother and deceive someone in that manner. And you think to yourself, what is the type of pressure that could be under someone's life to derive at that level of deception? And so I want you to look back to Genesis chapter 25 real quickly. We're going to only read one verse there, Genesis 25, and then we'll look in verse 27. It says there, and the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter. Mark that in your minds. A man of the field. And Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. Okay? I'm not going to keep you very long. This is going to be kind of a short message. But I truly want to give you an actual gift. That other one was a kind of a joke. But I want to give you an actual gift today through the Word of God. And that actual gift today is something that God had placed on my heart just for you. I've never preached this message before, so we'll see if it goes or not, see if it flies or not. I think it's something that God can give to us today. And the Bible says there, in the middle of that verse, it says that his brother was a cunning hunter, a man of the field. And Jacob was a plain man. So I ask you a simple question. Can God use plain men? Can God use plain men? Let me tell you something. I've been living for the last 10 years or so helping my father up in North Dakota. So I come from from an area that they call Scan America, Scandinavian America. They're very reserved. They're very practical. It's beans and potatoes for them, and they got a German Lutheran background, most of them, and so they don't, you know, it's just matter of fact, and they're very plain men. And the Bible says here that there was a difference in the two twins. One of them was a cunning man, a cunning hunter, and the other one was a plain man. One of them was Bass Pro Shop, amen, and had all the bows and not the rifles. It's a little too early for that. Let me get some water, just a second. But he is the number one guy. I mean, he is awesome. And everybody likes him. His father loves him the most. You know, Isaac loves him the most. And Rebekah loves the other son, as we do know. And so there's the division there. But it is the favor of his father that's most important in that patriarchal system. And so everybody knows that. But that's the type of pressure that this young man was under. And Rebekah understood it as well. So they cook up a scheme here. You know, he's just a plain man. He's just seemingly not that important in things. So they cook up a scheme and they start to deceive. And they have this plan because of Isaac's, his dimming of his eyes and he's at the point of death. They decide, of course, as you know, to make the venison feign himself as being his brother Esau. So that's kind of a trick, and that's a supplanting way to do it. Just a horrible thing. That's the pressure that they're under. But can God use plain men? Can God use someone without all that stuff, without all of the gimmicks? Can God use someone from Black Creek? Amen. Can God use someone from Antlers, Oklahoma? Can God use someone that's just seemingly doesn't have all the frills and doesn't have all the glitter and doesn't have all of those things? And I'm going to try to make the case to you tonight that he most certainly can. I even might make the case that he might prefer that man over the other. Amen? Cunning hunter. That is what we're talking about here. I'm going to, since it's you, I don't know if I'd preach this anywhere else. I definitely would not preach this in Powderly because people would start giving me money, I think. They're weird like that down there. I'm going to tell you something, so I'll let you in on this. I've been with y'all for a long time. I mean, I've known you for a long time. When I knew you guys, I was all messed up in the head with getting out of a weird cult, and that's a long story. I'm not going to name names, but you guys you helped. In that your pastor helped me immensely. Didn't even know he was doing it. But fast forward, here I am in Antlers, Oklahoma. And there was a time not too long ago that I couldn't pay a bill. And that bill that I couldn't pay, let me think of what it was. I had the money, I had the budget, but I was an idiot. In that I spent too much on the online payment on bill A because I wanted to get ahead of it. And I forgot about Bill B. And that's the juggling problem that I had. And then they were going to cut my water off. It was that bad. And I didn't know what to do. I'm telling you, this has happened to me in Oklahoma so many times. So many times, even when my wife didn't live there and I was looking for a house. And then later, so many times in Oklahoma, right when I needed something, nobody knew that I had a need. I didn't announce it. I didn't tell anybody. But someone would come up to me and just simply give me the money I needed. That happened at least four times that I can recollect right now. Just one time after. Yeah, I'm not a Pentecostal or anything. I'm not trying to. This isn't TBN or something. But I'm telling you, that happened. It's unbelievable how that happened several times. In this case, it was like the next day that we're going to cut off my water. But it's on the bill. We will cut off your water if you do not pay by this date. This date was tomorrow. And so I was like, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? And I'd read a lot of, and your pastor had mentioned this, man, I'd read a lot of George Mueller and stuff. And I know that God did some things for George Mueller that was unbelievable. Sitting there in a someone showed up and they didn't have any food. The orphans didn't have any food in Bristol, England, in their place. And all of a sudden someone shows up and gives them food. So that had never happened to me. So I thought, well, I'm going to get on my knees and pray. And it's rare for me to get on my knees. I pray every day, but my knees hurt. But I put something down there beside the bed and I got on my knees and I began to pray and just call out to God and said, God, I've served you. I haven't done anything dumb except pay the wrong bill. Could you help me here? Really trying to invoke the name of the Lord in the middle of that. Now, I'm going to get back to that story, but I'll tell you this. I had a little carnality in my life. The carnality in my life is that I had been watching those Duck Dynasty episodes. Yeah. They're Church of Christ, so their doctrine's all messed up. But, nevertheless, I always thought it was really good, Brother Ronnie, if I could kill something in the woods, fill the table, and I could bring it in. And I had this fantasy that I could just take people off the street and show them that life and be like praying out in the woods and God come down and deer sing with us. I always had that idea. And so back to the story, I'm praying that God would help me and everything. And I stood up and I was waiting for that knock at the door. George Mueller just, here's your milk, governor. That's what I was waiting on. There's no knock on the door. things seemed to be as it were before I got down there and started praying. But I was on my knees and I was praying to the Lord and everything, and all of a sudden I looked up, nothing. I just sat there on my knees. And I just so happened to look over the right to the corner. You know what I see in the corner? A guy with a check? No, that would be weird. That would be really weird. That would freak me out if that happened. You know what I saw in the corner? A 20-gauge shotgun that I had bought, that I had never hunted with, but that was my Duck Dynasty fantasy. It was just laying in the corner. And then I said, oh, wow. And God's like, are you thinking what I'm thinking? And not only that, God, he said, thank you very much. You're the one on the audio that gets the water and gets all so much spray. She's the one. Amen. What's her name again?
That's Katie.
Katie's the water.
It tastes better when Katie gets it.
Good. I thought so. Amen. So I looked at that, and then all of a sudden God said, and not only should you sell your 20-gauge, it was a 20-gauge because I was in North Dakota and it's a big bird area. Like, that's where all the ducks are. We got more ducks in North Dakota than we do in Louisiana. All right, that was, so there was a little bit of practicality. No, maybe not. But anyway, so I said, God said, you know, you also thought you at one time you could be a deer hunter. And you remember that brand new Barrett crossbow that your father bought you because you had this dream? And you never shot? Yeah, it's in the closet. Why don't you pick that up? And when I picked that up, that thing looks like Rambo, man. It's got the thing going on. It's got the, and it's got the scope. With that, both the green light, John Mark, and the red light, you know, you can see 50 yards, 80 yards, you know. It's almost like Terminator. Da, 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 da. You know, that's me. Yeah. God says, you know what? You could take that to the pawn shop too. I thought that's what you meant, God. So I went and I grabbed the crossbow and I grabbed that 20 gauge and I head out the door. Before I do, I go downstairs and my wife says, what are you doing? She knows about the problem. She says, no, not that. I said, honey, I think the Lord wants me to do this. And so I jumped into the van, threw it in the back. The shotgun shells were with it because I'll put it part of the deal. And I drove there. On the way, I thought to myself, and God began to deal with my heart and say, you know what? You know, you don't need to be having those idols. You need to help your family. You need to be able to bless them. That's why they're there. And God got with me in that van. Now, dare I say, I even cried a little bit. You know, I was like, you know what? This is your sacrifice. This is for you. I'm going to do this for you. I'm serious. It was a very important moment. So I got all the way to the pawn shop. And I brought all of that there. And I asked for $700. They were worth probably $5. But I got 4. I learned that from Pawn Stars, all right? My wife is part Jewish, too. It helps. So I got my $400, and it covered my bill with $100 to spare. And I was elated. But you know what? God changed my mind about that dumb dream, that carnal dream that I had before. And I grabbed the money, put in my pocket. I was shouting hallelujah. I drove all the way back to Hugo and walked into the house, and my wife was still glum. She just looked at me. Her heart was genuinely broken. Not because she cares about hunting. Women don't like hunting. But because she thought I cared about hunting. She's genuinely, is that a word? Legitimately was sorrowful. She just looked at me. She didn't say anything, and I was happy. I had this right here, and I looked at her. I saw, and it broke my heart just looking at her. I said, Becky, I didn't know what to say. And then all of a sudden, I started laughing. A little chuckle at first. And then it became even harder. And then I started laughing some more. And my wife was looking at me like, what in the world? And I was really laughing. I was belly laughing at a certain point. I was laughing. And I put my arm on her shoulder. And I said, Becky, look at me. She goes, what? Do I look like a hunter? I've got cerebral palsy. I can barely walk. Do I look like Phil Robertson? You know, the funny thing is went from a glum state right into laughing with me. And we both just began to laugh and everything. And it was just the greatest time I ever seen. It's just enjoying that moment where God had revealed this something to this bonehead, as Brother Ash puts it, bonehead. And I learned something. And then she just laughed and went back to washing dishes. She says, I really wanted you not to do that a year ago. I said, why? She says, you got cerebral palsy. You'd fall out of a tree stand. And I went from laughing to a little offended, because I was like, because I was like, honey, I was going to do it on the ground. You know, I was going to put it like a tent. You know the disadvantages of hunting on the ground? It's just a horrible idea. The deer come up to you and laugh at you. Look, he's on the ground. But you know what? I'm not a cunning hunter like Esau. I'm a plain man. Maybe even below a plain man. I'm half a man, essentially. Not much of a leg, not much of a hand. Not much of nothing. But you know what? Can God use a plain man? Can God use... Let me tell you something. The joy I got when I realized that I am not a hunter. The joy I got when I quit trying to make myself, fit myself into this other model of a person that I dreamed that I should be. And you know what? Some of you need to learn that too. Amen. Some of you need to learn that God made you as God made you. All right. Apostle Paul said, I glory in my infirmities. Right. Some of you might be scared of yours. Why? You say, well, you know what? Drugs, alcohol. I did some of this to myself. Well, let me tell you something. The cards you have in the deck that are left, don't you think that God wants you to use those?
Right.
Right? Are you dead?
Right.
If you're not dead, God can use what you got left.
That's right.
You can use exactly what you have left.
Good.
So they're feigning Esau. They're pretending to be him. I was in a missions society. I'm not going to name names. Not that anybody would know that person anyway, or the group or whatever. Seemingly on paper, they were really successful. They had churches everywhere and all of this. They were making us read John Maxwell books, you know, Laws of Leadership. And some of these books are not bad. They've got some good suggestions in them. I'm not knocking them. They made us read Dale Carnegie, you know, How to Make Friends and Influence People. And not all of that's bad, you know. Some of those principles are good. But it became one of those things that became a religion. They preached that more than Jesus Christ. It was a corporate thing, you know. And one of the things I saw when I was in South America was I didn't fit on any of those pages when I read them. And by the way, in that mission society, they didn't think I fit on any of those pages either. I could speak Spanish around anybody, but let me tell you something. In that group, they're like, man, we can't use this guy at all. Better put him back on a plane back to Lima and back to Atlanta. And so I got on a plane, went back to Lima and back to Atlanta. And for almost 10 years, maybe even longer, the devil was on my shoulder saying, you know what, you're not nothing. But the people of that mission society, they're something and you're nothing. And God, the devil told me that day after day after day. God was telling me that when I was pastoring in Sayo. Come on. You're nothing. You're nobody. But you know what? I think God decides who's somebody and who's not nobody. I think God can make clay. He can make the potter's wheel and make whatever he wants to from it. Jacob is the second of the two twins, you know. So typically that patriarchal system says that, you know, it is that Esau is the most important anyway. That's the system that's set up. But let me show you something real quickly. Just temporarily, we're going to go off to Numbers chapter 3 real quick. Let me show you this. Numbers chapter 3. I wasn't going to say use this, but I think it would be helpful. Numbers 3. Man, I got a new Bible and it takes me a year to get in. It's thin pages. But it smells nice. Numbers chapter 3, verse 12. God says this, "And I, behold, I have taken the Levites from among the children of Israel, instead of the firstborn that openeth the matrix among the children of Israel. Therefore the Levites shall be mine." Who is the firstborn of the 12? Reuben. Do you know what? Let's don't get into details here. But what did Reuben? Reuben did some bad things, all right? In his father's bed, all right? That's all I'm going to say. And so he's taken out of that position. So here he said, he's talking about Reuben without mentioning him. He says, behold, I have taken the Levites from among the children of Israel instead of the firstborn, instead of Reuben. Reuben is the firstborn in verse 12. Remember that. Reuben is the firstborn in verse 12. That openeth the matrix among the children of Israel. Therefore the Levites shall be mine. It says Levites there. But look at verse 13. Because all the firstborn are mine. Wait a minute. I thought Reuben was the firstborn. Verse 13. Levi is the firstborn. He says you're the firstborn. I use this with Jehovah's Witnesses all the time. It ticks them off. Amen. Because they believe Jesus is the firstborn of creation or whatever. You know, God can make the firstborn out of anything he wants. It's a thing that he can do. It's like a Jewish right you could give to someone. Hey, just like God can make children out of Abraham, out of the rocks of the ground. God can, let me ask you this question. Does Jacob need a blessing from his father? Now, I understand that this is in correlation to the first thing that happened. What was that first thing? He stole his birthright. I understand that. Let me tell you something. God can exalt a man anytime he wants for any reason that he wants. He doesn't need you to have a numerated degree. He doesn't need you to have a cum laude or whatever that is on your wall. He doesn't need you to have the latest and greatest of anything. You don't need none of those things. When God decides to use a man, he uses a man. When God decided to use a shepherd boy, he used a shepherd boy.
Amen.
That's what he did. So we're feigning Esau here. Now, let's look a little bit deeper. Let's go to Genesis chapter 27 again. I turned away from it. Let's look at this a little bit. Let's look at verse 17. And she gave the savory meat and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. So she's beginning to set up the scene to where Jacob can do this. He can feel hairy like his brother. And the venison is one of the things that made Esau popular. It's what his father liked about him. He was filled the table like Duck Dynasty. That's what he was. He was like, and it was the coolest thing ever. And it was like, if he had t-shirts, it would be Esau. You know, it would be like, he's the greatest guy ever. All right? Everybody was like, Esau. He's the greatest guy ever. Coolest guy ever. And he's known for this meat. You say, that's a simple thing. Well, back in the ancient world, you didn't have any much of anything. You were known for simple things. And he was known for the savory meat. And his father loved that venison. But let me show you something interesting. Rebecca, his mother, kind of laughed at that. I can make that stew in 5 minutes. She didn't even use venison. She got a couple kids and made it just like that. Let me tell you something. A lot of the gimmicks that are out there, a lot of the things that we're trying to strive for, be the greatest, you could make in 5 minutes. Amen? You want to shut down the contemporary Christian movement? All you have to do is cut the lights off and unplug the guitars. They'll be shut down in 3 weeks. Amen? Sometimes we're striving for things and accolades from men, and we're sitting there thinking, how can I feign myself to look like that guy? How can I pretend to be a Joe Blow doctorate over here? I want to be that guy. And God says, what in the world are you doing? I use Jacob, a plain man. God can use anybody. But I'm not just preaching to the preachers. I'm not just preaching to the men. I'm preaching to the women too. Some of you have that problem as well. Amen. Boy, I wish I was like her. You know, that one lady in the nursery, she's really godly. And by the way, maybe she is godly. Maybe you should learn from her. By the way, young men, there are godly men that you should learn from. Take all you can get from them. Learn everything you can from them. But there's a difference between learning from a man and trying to idolize him like some cult personality.
Come on.
And that's something I fell into. I wanted to be like a certain man for all of my life, and that man was like my spiritual father, I thought at the time. I just really loved him. And that man broke my heart into 1,000 pieces, and they were everywhere. And I lived with those broken pieces for decades on end, and the devil used them. And one day, God came over there and grabbed one piece and another piece and another piece and started putting them together and everything and made this. Amen. God did that for me. That whole house of cards fell down about a year ago. That whole ministry that I so much loved and thought so much were. It was like the intro to Mr. Bean. You ever said the angel singing? Ah. You know, every time I would see one of them, like, ah, they're the greatest preachers ever. Look at them all. They're so-and-so with that acronym that we all love. Yes! And God shut it all down, destroyed it all about a year ago. It all went. Rebecca looks over and says, I can make that stew in 5 minutes. Amen? Let me ask you a question. You want your wife to respect you? You want your children to respect you? Get alone with God and pull something out that God only gives you. Get alone with God and lay your Bible out and say, God, I know I'm not much. I know I'm not much of anything, but I'm going to give my life to you. And here's the pieces. If you can do something with them, do something with them. Amen?
Amen.
Kind of a simple message. Fact of the matter is, Esau's righteousness did not exceed this man. Let me show you something real quick. Go to Genesis chapter 10 real quick. I'm going to show you a mighty man of great power. That has a commonality with Esau. Genesis chapter 10, verse 8. Genesis 10, 8. This is what the Bible says. And Cush begat Nimrod. He began to be a mighty man. I can't read anymore. Be a mighty one in the earth. And he was a mighty what? Hunter. Josephus thinks that that is hunter of men. I don't believe that. Mainly because God didn't say hunter of men. He just said hunter. In the ancient world, if you can procure exotic meat, and this it's a wow factor for people. You know, they're building, you know, everybody's come down from the mountains of Ararat. Here they are on this plain of Shinar. And, you know, and it's just corral animals. And this guy can procure antelope. This guy's amazing. A hunter before the Lord. Hey, you think that's silly? You know, we crowned, Steve Jobs, because we got a phone we can do this with. Right? So look a little bit deeper. It says there, who's a mighty hunter. Even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord in verse 9. Look at that. Mighty hunter before the Lord. You know what? That ought to be a pejorative. What is that? An insult for when we think we're something hot. Brother John said, stick your head in the bucket and pull it out. Whatever's left is how much God needs you. Get it? Hey, that ought to be a pejorative and an insult to all of us. Next time that you start getting that anxiety thing to where you want to be that great preacher and you think you don't add up and you're reading John Maxwell or you're reading John MacArthur and you're reading these great, John MacArthur was a heretic, but you're reading these people that you admire. Even R.E. Torrey, who was a great man of God. Even John Wesley, who I admire immensely. But you're saying, you know what, I'll never be that. Go to the mirror and look your face. Drag yourself in the mirror. Look your face in the mirror and say to God, I'm such a Nimrod. Amen. I'm such a power-hungry narcissist, amen. Preachers can be narcissists, amen. Even the ones that think that they're failing, even the ones that think that they're not adding up, because they're trying their best to find a model that works for them. And the best model that works for you is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And one of the great things about John Ashbeth is John Ashbeth, I remember this story, him telling this. I'm not trying to put him up on a pedestal. You'll know that by this story. Talks about how in the Air Force that he always walked, and he walked so goofy he couldn't walk in cadence. Remember that? Is that what you said? It's just the weirdest looking thing. You know what? You know what he's trying to tell you? It's not just a joke. He's trying to tell you, I'm not much of nothing, but by the grace of God, amen. Brother Asquith, I like to tell stories. I thought I was pretty good at it until I met him. He can tell some stories. I invited him up in Belfast, and true stories, which is rare in fundamentalism. At least 50% of them are true, and that's a good ratio of truth. But I invited him out to eat, and we went up to he chose the place, went up here, and I just asked him, hey, why don't you tell us about Pinatubo? And he talks about the Philippines, and my kids are. It seemed like they're interested, but I don't know about those kids. But they at least listen. I was interested. I was like, wow, this is good. Let's tell them about the... And he told me the story about the demonic people and everything. Great stories. I thought to myself, man, I don't read all the novels that John Ashworth reads. And maybe that's a fault. Maybe I should read more of those secular things and get them into my life. And I do read, but not to that level. That's a challenge. But let me tell you something. God only made one John Ashworth.
Thank God for that.
Thank God for that. God only made one Ronnie Scolton, amen. And thank God for him. God only made one Kyle Bell. Thank God for that. One thing I looked about Kyle Bell, he stood up here and he preached. You know, he talked about in his testimony about his anxiety and all that. I can tell you something that's good about Kyle Bell. That message was good, amen. I love that message Sunday morning about courage. Not only that, the man wears his suit better than I've ever seen in my life. I, on the other hand, look horrible in a suit. I got a fat neck. He looks like Kent Clark just would walk in trying to be Superman just right before he walks in. It's awesome. And God's going to use him greatly. God is using him greatly. Let me tell you something. I'm not much of nothing. I think one of the reasons why God uses me at all is to show, hey, I use that. Maybe there's hope for you.
Come on.
Amen. I think you use this. Seriously, I look awful in a suit. The fat neck, I get this. I got special shirts just to get it around my big fat neck. If I wore shirts before and I looked like one of those Russian oligarchs, you know, this is the big fat neck and the chain. Yeah. I go into a church and you know, going to one of those Clarence Sexton church and you know, the Crown College and everything, millions of dollars, everybody's got their shoes shined. I go in there and like can't barely get the suit on, fat neck, walk in there. Just you take me on for support. Wonder why it took me 3 years to raise support. But you know what? I may not be a cunning hunter. I might just be a plain man. But thank God, God uses plain men.
Yes.
Thank God that God uses people like that. Isn't it the Apostle Paul and to the Corinthians that said that I have chosen not the strong, the strong but the weak, not the wise, but the simple?
Praise God.
That's what he chooses. He chooses blue collar. He chooses people like you, people like me, for his service. It's a simple message, but it's a very important truth.
Yay.
Very important truth. Let me show you one more thing. Go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. If We've all read this verse, I think, one time or another. Let's look down to verse 12 if you're all there. For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. Amen. Some of you young preachers, you're just starting off now. Thank the Lord for that. What a blessing. It's another gold star for Brother Asquith. And really, it was God that he's got so many preacher boys here. Enjoy the time when you're a young preacher. Enjoy that time. You know why? Because you can't get as much trouble now as you will later for saying dumb things. Yeah, things become a whole lot more consequential later. You ever look at a kid and the kid wants to be, he's 12 and he wants to be 13. And he's 13 and he wants to be 15. I can just be 15. And now he's 55 and like, I wish I was 12. You may not know this, but you're in a beautiful moment in time in your life.
Yes.
You are.
Amen.
Yeah? And by the way, an ordained time in your life. Do you think God's going up there going, I wish he would, what are you doing? You enjoy where you're at right now. You enjoy where God's put you right now. You enjoy this church. We're in the last days. You may never see another one like this. We're just trying to grow up so fast. You know what? You need to grow up fast. You need to read all you can. You need to imitate, as Paul says, be imitators of me. You need to imitate your pastor. You need to imitate in certain ways. You need to glean all you can from other men. I'm not preaching against that. But what I'm saying is the main thing is that you have to understand that God takes his time. Remember how I preached Sunday, was it Sunday, 1 o'clock? Moses was in the backside of the desert for how long, Stephen said in Acts chapter 7? 40 years. God doesn't care about your watch. He's got his own watch. He does things his time. Enjoy where you're at. Enjoy where you're at. Look, at my church, I'm nowhere near where Black Creek is. Nowhere near. We have 11 people, and most of them are lost. I enjoy that. Not that they're lost. Got a guy named Will from Lockport. He's driving around without a light. He's got some problems. Maybe not a license that's right. And you know, he's the greatest guy. He's not a weirdo or nothing, but man, you know, he'll admit to you, I come from a rough background. Got the tattoos, all that jazz. But he comes to the church. He raises his hand every time I say, if you're lost, raise your hand. I make them do it. They close their eyes. They haven't got to where you guys were when you were young, where you come up and said, I think I'm lost. You can't do that. But when everybody's eyes closed, there it is. I enjoy where I'm at right now. Do I wish I could have this? Sure. Sure, it'd be great to have this. But God didn't create me for this. He created me for that. And that may become this one day, but ultimately, I'm going to do all I can to be faithful to the Word of God. I'm going to do all I can to mature those people and be patient with them. But there we are, sitting in Antlers, Oklahoma, and quite frankly, God bless it. I'm content.
Amen.
Right where I am.
Amen.
Are you content where you are? I don't mean content as in, I need to stay here. No one stays where they're at. Get in the car and just drive and just shut down the car in the middle of 305 and go, I want to go to Walmart, but I'm content here. You get run over is what's going to happen. Probably buy a buggy. That's weird. On 305. Amish guy's shaking his fist. Yeah, you need to mature. You need to get somewhere in your life. But some of you are not okay with a grand caravan. You want a Fiari. God doesn't want you to have a Fiari. Did I say that right?
No.
A Lamborghini. That's an easier thing to pronounce. You want to zoom, and God just wants you to zoom. You want to get down the road, and God wants you to go the speed limit.
Come on.
Like that kid. He's ready to go now. That's Jack Hiles right there. Ah, there you go. Hey, man. Poor kid's going to start crying now. You know what? I think for every man, God has a speed limit.
Right.
Amen. I think every man has his own personal speed limit.
Uh-huh.
But if God wants you to go 55, don't go 45. If God wants you to go 65, don't go 35. But if you go 105, you might find your backside in the ditch somewhere. Amen. And you know where you should be. I'm not just preaching to the men, I'm preaching to the women. A lot of women, my wife is one of them too. Just, man, I wish I could be like Elizabeth Elliot. Well, thank God you're not, honey. Otherwise, I'd have a spear in my side right now as your husband. You guys know who Elizabeth Elliot is? Anyway. Amen. You know, my wife, when we first got married, one of the things that she was frustrated with her Bible reading. She graduated from Crown College. And she read her Bible every day, but she was frustrated with it because people told her, and by the way, this, you might be doing this. If you're doing this, it's fine. It's not a sin. It was a problem for her. They told her, man, if you really want to read your Bible, John Mark, you need to read 4 chapters a day. You've heard this? Amen. Do you do that? I don't know. Don't answer. 4 chapters a day. I mean, she had a baby. She had all these things. She read her 4 chapters and just zoomed through it and says, honey, I want to get something from the Word of God, but 4 chapters don't work for me. I said, babe, then why are you doing it? Well, because Clarence Sexton said she's doing it. Not getting nothing. By the way, your pastor might have told you to read 4 chapters a day. I'm sorry. I didn't know that. Let me tell you, and that's fine. If you can do it, you can do it. I said, why don't you, instead of reading 4 chapters, why don't you study one of them?
Come on.
You slow down. She goes, you can do that? Do you see a policeman sitting over your shoulder? Yeah, you can do that. David said, I meditate in the law of the Lord. I delight in the law of the Lord. I meditate in day and night. Meditate, not read. You know, well, let's see here. But thanks to God, which put the most earnest care in the heart of the title for you, if we're indeed accepted at an orientation, but being a forward for his own accord, he went unto you. Thank you, Lord, for Jesus. And I got a baby that's crying. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. And that's a lot of women's devotions because they're busy. But it'd be better if you took 2 or 3 verses and just read them and just meditated them on all day and just asked God to show you something. Oh, just a few verses. Why are you going 65 when God's speed limit for you is 55? But be faithful in what God wants you to do. What you to do. It's not wise to compare yourself to others. It's not wise to see the greatest Bible reader ever. Hey, if someone gets up here and testifies, I read 4 chapters a day and the God's really blessed it. Hallelujah. I'm not saying that person's a heretic. Be temperate in how you're listening to me today. I lack structure. My wife's not here, all right? You do what God wants you to do. And I guarantee you, if you're not doing what God wants you to do, he'll knock on your door.
Amen.
He'll tell you. I don't have, you know what, I married Rebecca. I got to tell you, the first time I married Rebecca, only married her once. The first time I saw Rebecca, I liked her because she was pretty. I didn't like her because she was godly. I didn't even know that. I'm just confessing that with you. Man, she's pretty. I like her. Can't even remember where I was going with that. But I married, you know what? I liked her, and she's pretty, and I married her, and I lost the train of thought. I don't know where I was going with that. But all that being said, I know what I was going to say. One of the things about Rebecca, she brings to the table, she's smarter than me. This is not being recorded, is it? She's smarter than me. She is. That's not supposed to be. I'm supposed to be the leader of the home. I'm supposed to be the spiritual leader. She knows stuff, man. She knows how, she's got that administrative thing going on. I try, and I pay the wrong bill sometimes. It happens. Yeah. But you know what? God makes that work. That's not really the best model for everybody. That's not the model that you go to Hiles Anderson and teach. Marry a woman that's smarter than you. That way you can, that she can do a lot of things you can't do that men typically do, like fiddle with websites and stuff. Some other things. It works for us.
Amen.
And I do some things she can't do. Dwell with your wife according to knowledge. Learn that woman. Where am I at with this? Well, this is my own point. My point is this. Comparing yourself with each other is not wise. Can God use a plain man? Can God use the man that's right from where you are now? You wouldn't be here if God couldn't do that. If God couldn't use you, God would probably just take you home. If you're still here and you're breathing air, God's got something for you to do. And it may not be the greatest thing according to the scoreboard of the Lord. It may not be the greatest thing according to Crown College or our Northwest Bible College or whatever. So what? It's the greatest thing because God wants you to do it.
Amen.
And do it. Antlers, Oklahoma is not the greatest, you know, it's a town of 3,000 people, bigger than Black Creek. got more cannabis than dog people there, and it's not the best place in the world, you know, it's not the huge place on the map, to be honest with you. But you know what? It's my Nineveh. It's where God sent me.
Amen.
And that's where I'm at, and this is where God's got you. And so since God's got you here, you need to find your call and do your call. I don't care if it's preaching all over the world like Tim McVeigh. I don't care if it is taking out the trash. I don't care what it is. You do your thing well and do not compare yourself with others. That will bring you into despair. That will bring you into idolatry. And it ultimately will break your communion with God. Because God doesn't want you idolizing other people. And He also doesn't want you to have that anxiety. You've got that anxiety on your shoulder that, hey, and I'm not preaching at one person. I don't know who I'm preaching to. I always preach like that. I'm preaching to all of you. Preaching to me. Because I know I'm preaching to me. I've lived some of what I'm preaching right now. I told you that. God doesn't want you to have that burden on your life that you need to catch up with a big dog. Because God doesn't use dogs, He uses men. He'll use you.
Amen.
Every head bowed and every eye closed. And have Brother John come forward and he can handle the altar call.
Just what I did the last time. Are you satisfied with what God's done and what He wants to do? Striving to be some magic person that you've made up in your own mind. God forbid. Neil, you going up there? Now listen, we're going to take prayer requests. This isn't the time to bring up Aunt Fanny's hangnails and that kind of thing.